I got you for another 4 hours. We're just getting warmed up as we take you till 6 o'clock straight to the morning show. It'll be Al and Jerry today. Looking forward to that on the ride home. And thankfully, it's just late enough where I'll be forced to put all of the effort of the morning getting the boys ready mostly on my wife. I get to avoid most of that by the time I'll get home with the extra hour today. So that's always a positive.
Although we take that. That's a positive we'll take Tommy that. Take is, right
that's,
there.
That's a good one. Even though she's under the weather a little bit, so she's not going to be thrilled about it. But what can you do?
Hey, you know what? She has to go to work too, right?
So. Yes. That's it. She understands. Work happens. Boys are crazy. 888, they're in like this day camp. They just come home so filthy, so tired. Like we literally live 4 minutes. So it's a 4 minute drive from the place this camp is. They're both asleep in the car by the time we get home.
There you go.
It just wears them out, which is fine and everything. But when you try and get them out of the car, it's like an instant like fight. Like, because they don't want to get out. They're tired. I'm like, come on, get out of the car. We'll go sit inside. You'll feel better. I'm like, oh my God. Instantly.
And what time is this at?
For like 2:45.
Oof.
Yeah, in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's not a good time for sleep.
No. And with me now, the summer, these out, I don't sleep. They would get off the school. They get off the bus at 4 o'clock. So I could sleep until 4 o'clock. Now I have to go get them at 2:30. So my sleep's affected. Everything's affected.
And then you got it. And then you got the screaming sleepy kids in the back too.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get them out of the car. Oh, come on. What do you want for dinner? They don't want to.
We got
it.
The Minecraft movie inside.
Yeah, exactly. Had to watch that a couple times. It's already out on HBO, so we've watched it on Max. So we've watched that a couple times.
Oof, there we go.
Yeah, it's not so bad. It's not the beginning is kind of, and plus just Jack Black, you know.
Yeah,
he's a pleasant of enough watch. Like even in a bad movie, you watch Jack Black, he makes you laugh. That's it.
That's the truth if I've ever heard it.
It's just like, you know, he's a comfortable watch, that Jack Black. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
See, Mac, I love the energy starting the show and returning back from the break, man. What's good?
What's up? I'm doing well. How are you, Ray?
I'm chilling. You know what? Just put me in the same boat. I guess we're both Yankee shills, right? And I say that tongue-in-cheek.
Yep.
Because we just happen to be guys where, you know, with the glass half full, that's all. And how dare you make so much sense when you talk about the Yankees? How could you?
I know. People, the Yankee fan is angry. The Yankee fan wants blood. The Yankee fan is fed up with this. And I get it. I'm not happy they didn't win a championship either. I just don't declare seasons dead off of bad stretches, especially when they have a tendency of turning it around. And, you know, they were in the World Series last year, but nobody wants to hear that crap.
Yeah, see, Mac, and listen, how's this for being a shill? The Yankees own the Seattle Mariners, and I expect them to beat the crap out of them coming up here. But
it's not a terrible take. They do play well against the Mariners, and Judge usually hits well against them.
Yeah. So check this out. I'm glad you waited till after the break because, I have a lot to say. I'll try to be quick, right? As far as, like, the Volpe thing, I didn't get your take yesterday. But, like, I'm so fed up with everybody. I hate the double standard. The Yankees are constantly being called classless fans, savages and animals. And, you know, and then, you know, the most recent time, right, is when they booed Juan Soto. How dare they boo a player on the field, right? But these guys, right, the Mets fan, and you know what? Since we're always lumped in together with the bad apples, I guess I'll just paint it with a broad brush, too. Like, that was classless on their behalf. We don't know what the hell was said before that guy conveniently started playing the video after he, you know, verbally attacked Volpe's dad, you know, with his mom. And so, like, we don't know. Look, long story short with that, I hate the double standard. I'm tired of us getting a bad rap and nobody saying anything about, the Mets fans or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the Knicks, you know they've been pissing me off. We've been talking about it. So, listen, as far as this guy Brown, I am hearing, oh, my God, you know, this, you know, first of all, I'm tired of hearing that Tibbs, he has a ceiling, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Brown reached his ceiling, how long ago? 15 years ago when he lost in the NBA Finals twice. He's going backwards. And I kept hearing how heroic it was for him to go to Game 7 against the Golden State Warriors. Wow, what an accomplishment. When he had the number one offense in the league that year, he probably lost 5 games in total at home. Yeah, he got his ass blown out in Sacramento, you know, on his home floor as the favorite. So, like, you know what? That's also hypocritical and, you know, a double standard. So that's probably, you know, the tenor of my call here. I'm tired of hypocrisies and double standards. And the last thing, C-Mac, thank you for letting me vent, man. I love you guys. All right, the All-Stars. I see Mets fans out there putting side-by-side Juan Soto's numbers with you know, Jazz Chisholm. Like, how dare you put Jazz Chisholm in the All-Stars? Look, everybody unanimously agreed that, you know, Juan Soto doesn't deserve to be All-Star. First of all, he sucked for 2 months. The so-called month that he was great, you know, the guy still hit 150 with runners in scoring position. They were 3-14 during that span. He doesn't impact winning. In fact, he contributed to losing. So, like, you can't throw out the rest of the season. Well, and the fact that the guy has 16 solo shots, and Jazz deserves it. The guy on a 162 pace of this year is on pace for over 40 homers and 110 or so RBI.
Yeah, well, and thank you for the call, Ray. I appreciate it. He's also played a terrible defensive third base here for a month. I don't have a problem with anything that happened. Jazz, I have no problem with Jazz being an All-Star. And look, we all know how great Juan Soto is. Was this season an All-Star season in the first half? You could make it so. Like, he's not been terrible. He's been really good the last month for sure. People get hung up on this crap. I don't get hung up on it. I got to tell you, Ray, I wish I had your passion for that subject. I just don't. The All-Star game, the All-Star break, the teams who, the guys who make it, who's in the home run derby. It's an exhibition, man. I don't care. I don't care all that much. Juan Soto could have made it. Juan Soto didn't have to make it. I totally agree. And there's no doubt he's been terrible throwing his scoring position, and he hasn't impacted winning enough for the New York Mets. That is fair. That doesn't have to necessarily do with All-Stars. There's going to be... Plus, you got to have an All-Star from every team. Like, if you're a Met fan really upset that Juan Soto didn't make the All-Star team, I don't know what to tell you. And if Jazz made it, I'm more concerned about Jazz playing second base than I am Jazz in the All-Star game. I got to be totally honest with you. And I can't wait for Aaron Boone, who's the manager of the American League All-Star team, because they went to the World Series last year, and he plays Jazz at second base in the All-Star game, but won't do it for the Yankees. I can't wait for that one. Your point about Volpe's dad, listen, about the Met fan, I don't know. Like, yes, I'm surprised someone would still get into it with someone once they realize it's his father. That's pretty disrespectful. Like, you want to say some stuff at a game, like, even if it's, you know, you're an idiot, you want to say something terrible. I don't know what was said. You're right. But the minute, like, the guy, once you realize it's Anthony Volpe's father, like, shut up, man. Can you imagine if someone was saying something about your kid there? Like, we can all understand, even if you're the idiot who said it, you're at a Met game, you're not expecting to insult someone's father. Like, but then the second you do, like, sit down and shut up. I don't disagree. Now, Yankee fans are trying to rip the ball out of Mookie Betts' hand in the World Series. Like, let's not justify anything other than that particular fan seemed like an idiot. But my point about all that is, if Anthony Volpe's father is at the point where he's fighting with guys in the stands, like, this is where I about the fan base and about the media coverage. Like, I remember a call a couple days ago, maybe last week, obviously, where a caller got on Sal and blamed Sal and blamed us at the station for the vitriol from the fan base and the idea that these players struggle under it. And I think it's a fair criticism, not necessarily to blame me or to blame Sal in particular, but there is no doubt. We talk about New York is different. New York is different. We hold to a different standard. And then we don't ever, like, unless you're a relief pitcher, that's the only, like, if you're a closer, it's all, he can't handle the pressure of New York. That's the only time. Like, and pitchers really, but, like, nobody wants to acknowledge that Anthony Volpe is a young kid who grew up loving Yankee fan, loving the team and being a Yankee fan, and is now hated by the fan base. Despised. Vitriol. Get this kid out of my sight. I can't stand him. He sucks. Get him off the team. We were lied to. He's nothing like what we thought he was. He's a bum. I can't stand to look at him anymore. And we say all the same on the radio. And we take the calls, we say the same on the radio. His father hears it. I was at the Hard Rock having lunch before a Yankee game the other night, and his grandfather came walking in. His grandfather hears it. Anthony Volpe is well aware that the fan base despises him. If you think that's easy, if you think that doesn't contribute to the idea that he's struggling, when we've seen it time and time again, it contributed to Hicks' struggles. It contributed to Gallo's struggles. We've seen it. When you're in the crosshairs of the fan base, it's tough. I honestly think that's part of the reason Gleyber Torres is flourishing in Detroit this year. Because he knows that not every single misplay or every single out on the base path, he's going to get killed by the fan base and the social and media, and he's going to never hear the end of it. Like, I think that's part of it. And I'm not saying we should change. I'm just saying we should understand that it's not easy. Neil in Irvington. What's up, Neil?
Hey, what's up, C-Mac?
What's up, brother?
Hey, before I get into Dave Sims, because I didn't know I could talk about Dave Sims because I heard Keith get on him tonight. But I'm going to tell you something. The Yankees, they're going to go 1-5 this weekend. Against them six teams.
Okay.
I hate to say it. I'm a diehard Yankees fan.
Mm-hmm.
And
all right, call me back next Monday.
That's what I'll do.
Call me back next Monday. We'll see if you were right or wrong.
All right, you got it. Oh, now, Dave Sims. Two examples, C-Mac. He said a pop-up.
Well.
Listen, see, I got to tell you this. Don't forget. He said a pop-up.
Well, I mean, it happens. It happens, Neil. Like, let's not kill Dave. He's done a really good job. I'll be totally honest with you. I listen to the radio a little bit, but I'm a lunatic. I'm a lunatic. I gotta watch the games. I'm not one of those who like puts it on the car if they're driving or like I'll wait. I wait. And I watch it. People get on me on Twitter. If you're listening to me now and you're one of my Twitter haters and stuff, like, this is the honest to God truth. Because people are always like, oh, where are you today? Is the Yankees are getting killed. I'm like, I'm on Twitter almost every game. But, like, especially on the weekends, if I'm doing something with the kids, if I'm coaching a team, if I'm at a barbecue like I was this weekend, 4th of July, the day after, like, they're like, oh, you want me to put the game on? I'm like, no, don't put the game on. Because I'm not going to be able to watch it. I don't feel like popping in, popping out. Turn it off. Don't leave it on. Don't talk to me. Don't tell me scores. We're going to have a barbecue. We're going to have a good time. Sports don't exist. And when I'll go home, I'll watch it at 1 o'clock in the morning. I don't care. I'm that kind of crazy. And I won't go to my phone. I won't check scores. I won't go to Twitter. And people are like, oh, yeah, nothing to say after this Met loss. I'm like, yeah, I didn't. I watched the game the next morning. I didn't see Carlos Rodon spit the bit in the first inning until 9 o'clock in the morning the next day. So I haven't listened to the radio as much, but I know Dave Sims, and I've listened to his broadcast. I've heard him on television. It's also, he's making a transition now from radio to television. You got to be a lot more descriptive. You can let the picture tell the story a lot as a television broadcaster. It's different as a radio broadcaster, but... And let's be honest, I love John Sterling. Love John Sterling. But knowing exactly where the ball was wasn't his strength. Let's go to Rob and Edison. What's up, Rob?
Hey, C-Mac. How you doing, buddy?
Good, buddy. How are you?
So I think that a lot of the vitriol for Volpe, I don't think people realize it, but they still have Derek Jeter in their head. They have this comparison because Volpe was supposed to be the next Jeter. Young, local guy, good-looking, was supposed to be the next Derek Jeter. And I don't think it's conscious, but I think people still have this image and this of Derek Jeter in their head, and they just, they know Volpe's never going to live up to that. And I just think it's subconscious. What do you think?
I think it has something to do with it, I suppose. I think it's more about the idea how many base runners he leaves on base. I think right now, this year, that's been his main issue with the fans. and also, as I've said this, when the Yankees never came out, other than there's the clip of Brian Cashman in that famous the famous scrum where he's yelling at Joel Sherman and cursing up a storm and everything. And during that, he said, so when Anthony Volpe, you know, starts crushing it, you know, other than that, he was the top six prospect in baseball, not by the Yankees, but, you know, baseball, whatever, the MLB pipeline had him as the sixth best. Thank you, Sue. MLB pipeline had him as the sixth best prospect in baseball. The Yankees didn't. I mean, the Yankees didn't come out and tell you he's the next Derek Jeter or tell you he's the next great player. They told you that by their actions, by not signing other free agent shortstops and not trading him. So there was an expectation of him coming up. And then it's funny to me because fans don't remember this. He won the job out of spring training and we all screamed he deserved it. Play him. We never give our prospects a chance. They gave him a chance. They didn't put him in AAA. They brought him right up to the major leagues. And now we have the nerve to, like, kill the organization for it and say, well, they've stunted his growth by playing him right away. Like, we were all screaming for it. And he doesn't have to be the next Derek Jeter. And I think that's part of it, that the shortstop of Derek Jeter, the memory of Derek Jeter. But there's been guys in between. Like, obviously, Didi Gregorius was the shortstop for a while and was great for the Yankees. Brian Cashman traded Shane Green for Didi Gregorius. No one remembers that trade either. But, like, I think that's part of it. Part of it is that they didn't sign Trey Turner. They didn't sign Seager. They also didn't sign Carlos Correa, who can't stay healthy. They also didn't and hasn't been very good. They also didn't sign Trevor Story, who would have been a disaster here, who hasn't stayed healthy in forever. Like, and it makes a lot of money. But it was, we're not trading him, and we're not signing other shortstops because we have either him or Peraza, two top-level prospect shortstops that we think eventually one of them can become the future shortstop of the New York Yankees. And I'm telling you right now, like, this is where we may disagree on Volpe. I don't think he needs to be a superstar to have it be successful. Anthony Volpe, on June 13th, had a 767 OPS. He was on pace for 40 doubles and 90 RBIs. If Anthony Volpe does that and cuts down on the errors, that's your starting shortstop for the next 10 years, and we all should be happy about it. It's not easy. It's not easy to just have a starting shortstop come through your system. It's not easy. Like, we look at it right now, Julio Rodriguez on Seattle, because I've been seeing this a lot. Julio Rodriguez is an all-star. Julio Rodriguez was one of the shining stars of baseball. Julio Rodriguez was one of the great prospects. He's an incredible player. He's going to take over the league. He's a superstar. He's an all-star right now. He's got a .248 average. He's got 11 home runs, 43 RBIs, and a .697 OPS. That is Anthony Volpe. Now, he's the better defender in center field than Volpe's been this year at shortstop, but that's Anthony Volpe. Those numbers are almost identical to what Anthony Volpe has done. And he's an all-star beloved out in Seattle, and Anthony Volpe's father can't go to games without being harassed. There's a difference. Ralph in Lakewood. What's up, Ralph?
Hi, C-Mac.
Hey, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Okay, listen, I got a lot to say over here, so just if you could bear with me, nothing against you, but the same way we look at a baseball team or a football team where we criticize, I got criticism to be thrown at the fan over here, okay, C-Mac?
Okay.
I'm still trying to get in touch to defend Dan Campbell for going for it on fourth down against the Niners 3 years ago. I've been calling for 3 years. I'm a diehard fan of the station. And I can't get through. I am sitting there day in and day out. Cole, you understand the content that you guys have missed because I can't get through? No, you don't understand. You understand the stories and the unbelievable things. And not only that, C-Mac, but number two, there have been unkept promises. Why? I called Carton one day. I'm like, listen, bro. why do you get to be on the radio? Because you went to school? Invite me on the radio for a half hour. Let me join you for a little bit. And he said, you know what? You're invited. And he gave me his email, and then he went dark on me. And then Evan one time promised me tickets out of nowhere. Ralph, you're the caller of the day. I'm going to give you tickets. Did I ever get them? No. But when I'm on the caller of the day on XM radio, I get Sherry's berries delivered to my door the next day. What are we doing over here? See, Mac, I give you a chance right now on behalf of the fan and all those that work with you to redeem yourself. Do you invite
myself?
Me
what
for
I
night for an hour to hang out with you or no? Come on!
Why?
Come
because
on,
because others made promises? I got to let you in the studio for an hour?
What does that mean? You have a team. Volpe, right? If Volpe's doing bad, Judge defends him. You got a team
well,
over
I'll tell
here.
You what. Here's my team. I apologize if anybody misled you or didn't give you what they promised you. I didn't make you any promises.
No, listen. See, Matt. Are you just going to... 3 years. I you understand what happened? No, I got pulled over in the offseason the day that Soto signed with the Mets.
Uh-huh.
And I pulled over. I ran a red. And the cop looks at me. He's like, everything you say right now is being recorded and on camera. And I looked at him in the eyes. I said, camera right now recorded. Is this live? You're sure? He's like, everything you said is fully on camera. And I looked directly at his body cam. And I said, I'm a huge Yankee fan. I looked at his body cam. I said, Juan Soto, you're absolutely dead to me. But you know what? You guys missed that story because I can't get through to the radio.
I'm very sweet. You got through today, buddy. I don't know what to tell you, Ralph. Thank you very much. I love that. You got to let me in for an hour. I don't. I really don't, Ralph, but I appreciate it.
Hey, that's dedication, though. I mean, listen, if you want to get in here at 3 o'clock in the morning for the 3 to 4 a.m. hour, that's, you want to get on, you want to get on.
Yeah. No, absolutely. That he was dedicated. I mean, listen, I can tell you this right now. Call me every morning at 3:30. You'll probably get on. I don't have any misconception of this. The day you call at 3:30 and you try like two or three times and can't get on, something's wrong with your phone. It's not over here. Chris, you talk so much. Yeah, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Why don't you go to take a call? Please, 888-808-1019. You guys crack me up. I love when I get those messages. Chris, you got to get calls. You got to talk to the calls more. Yeah, well, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I got Tommy in a story. He wants to do movie trivia real quick. We're gonna go to him right after the break. Tommy, I know you've been on hold, bud. I'm sorry. I've let people talk this morning. I'll let you talk when I come back. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Be right back. Everybody wants something from me this morning. We got Ralph wants to come in for an hour. Zoo wants to just tell me stories. Go ahead. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Hey, listen, I'm already here for 5 hours, brother, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was I played that song one time coming back from a break for Ricky Ricardo.
Okay.
And because knowing Ricky was with why can't I think of his Rick James.
Yeah. That's
I
right.
I just stopped
yeah,
myself
right,
there.
Yeah.
But Rick James.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, they did the album together. Let me play Eddie Murphy. Maybe he's got a story or something from that. And Ricky actually turns around, goes to me, he goes, yeah, I was in Rick James's basement with them. We all got snowed in for the weekend, and we recorded the song and the music video for it. And he's like, if you watch the music video in the beginning when they're in the control room, he's like, I'm sitting in the background. You can see me.
Really?
Yeah. So I went back. I looked. I was like, no way.
Man.
Ricky Ricardo.
How about that? And I wonder what snowed in meant.
Look out!
Look out!
Hey, I'm Rick James.
Rick James. I don't even want to say
look
it.
Out for your couch. Charlie Murphy.
Those are the best. That was such a great sketch. With the Charlie Murphy stories were so funny. Prince.
What does
Rick
a
James.
Five finger say to the face?
Yeah. Slap. That was yeah, they're so funny.
Unity.
Yeah. Shirts. Shirts versus blouses. Blouses win. That's it's such a good show. 888-808-1019. Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, hello, my friend, Christopher.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Before I make my baseball point, quick movie question for you.
Yeah.
It's not trivia. It's just a matter of, because you referenced both these. What's the better movie speech? The Chino in Scent of a Woman or Nicholson in A Few Good Men?
What's the better scene?
Well, what do you think?
Or which actor had the better performance? Well, I mean, Al Pacino was much more in the movie than Jack Nicholson.
What do you prefer? Which one? I know you do both of them. You've done the Nicholson.
Well, the Nicholson one I know by heart. I know the whole thing.
Yeah, you did it one
night. I know the whole thing. I don't know the entire Pacino thing. I could do a lot of it, but I don't know it by heart. But I have the entire. That's such a good question.
The Pacino thing is more over the top.
Yeah.
Nicholson was real acting. I mean, that hurt.
Yeah.
Rob Ryan.
It's a better monologue, yeah. But the actual point made by Al Pacino in that movie, like it's just well done. It's like a whole, like he's just talking about, I guess the Marines, is he's making a point too, I guess, but I my gut tells me, I think I enjoy the Al Pacino scene more. Overall, just the idea, like, you know, just the whole process. He doesn't want your approval. He doesn't need to be a bad man. Bad bums.
It's funny, speaking of the movie, I found out today something that floored me on a personal note. I think I failed as a parent. My 16 and 20-year-old daughters have never seen Jaws. I couldn't believe that.
Really? Yeah, my kids have watched it already at the age they're at.
Yeah,
they've watched Jaws already. And we actually forgot. Wow, that just dawned on me. We went to the Yankee game last week for firework night against the A's, and they're doing like a promotional thing where they have swag or they have cups and stuff for the 50th anniversary of Jazz. We forgot for Jazz. 50th anniversary of Jaws. I forgot all about it.
Tarantino said it's not the best film ever, but he said it's the greatest movie ever, but not to get it. It is. I watched it tonight. It's so good.
Yeah, no, Jaws is great. I can't believe it's 50 years old. It's unbelievable.
50 years old. Let Polly do the printing. So maybe a little line from that. The thing with the Yankees, this Schmidt injury changes you guys, your whole landscape.
No doubt.
Because now, I mean, and I'm a Mets fan, big time Mets fan, but we have far less needs you guys have. Now you have to get, you need relief pitching, you need a starter, a third baseman. Well, you can make the argument that we have Winker coming back, Alvarez, Raley. Our biggest need is the bullpen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Arizona, I tell you, everybody thinks Arizona is going to give these guys away. They're four back in the loss column.
Yeah.
Arizona's not training these guys. And the guy who I would love to get is Gallen. He pitched his second good game in a row tonight. He's 29. He's going to be a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy. If the Yankees can get somebody like him, he's the guy you got to get. I mean, I don't know what you would give up or what you'd have to give
one
up.
One more time, I missed the name. I got to, what was
Gallen,
the name?
Zach Gallen.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, listen, they could feed the entire trade deadline if Arizona decided to sell. There's no doubt about it. They have a bunch of guys who could really make a difference if they decide. But again, you're right. I mean, they're four games out of it, and they're a couple of years removed from a miracle run to the World Series.
They're a good team. They've been beat up. Their bullpen is totally decimated.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't disagree. I'm not sure they're going to sell these guys. I mean, we'll find out. Suarez is, you know, older at the end of his contract. I mean, that might be the one guy they sell, but I wouldn't expect, you know, Gallen or all these guys to go.
Can I make one Steinbrenner point? Because we've been talking about this all the time.
Yeah.
You know, Steinbrenner was, it's such a nuanced history this guy has, but people forget that he showed up in the 1981 World Series with a cast on his hand, making up a story about getting into a fight with two Dodger fans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine if the kid did that.
No, we don't remember. He has become a figure that we don't remember any of the bad with. It is strictly, he's only remembered as the boss who insisted on winning, held people accountable, and got the most out of everybody. That's it. The other things have been forgotten.
What he did was he's from Cleveland. Everybody, you know, he's not from New York. He's a Cleveland guy. So when he came over, he had a guy, Gabe Paul, who was an old baseball guy from Cleveland, brought him with him. He was his GM. Guy made shrewd trade after shrewd trade, built up the team. And I'll tell you what, Steinbrenner, the best thing Steinbrenner ever did, he wined and dined and brought in Reggie. He got Reggie here. Reggie put that team over the top. But after they won in 78, In 1980, they won 103 games. They got swept by Kansas City, and he fired Dick Howser. After that, he went into this irrational world of impulse. And mm-hmm. you can't be a successful owner and do that.
Nope.
That brought you into the 80s. Then it went all downhill until he wasn't there anymore. I don't know why people don't see this.
No, I don't. I mean, don't know why either. Look, it's not to knock him. He's a great owner, Tommy, and he should have. I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. He was a great owner, but yeah, we all act like, oh, if only he were here now, he would put an end to this crap. Yeah, maybe he would have. Maybe they'd be on their sixth manager in the last 8 years instead of keeping Aaron Boone. Like, who knows? Who knows what they would have done? Maybe they would have traded Aaron Judge. We never think of that. Maybe he would have traded Aaron Judge for a relief pitcher. We have no idea. And it's so easy to say. It's so easy to say. Again, the last time the Yankees were awful, awful, he was the, like, Hal Steinbrenner has never seen anything like that in his short time here. And I don't disagree. Listen, I think he spends enough money. Do I agree that there are times he should be willing to go get that one last piece to make the team complete? Absolutely. Absolutely. They should have brought in a third baseman this year. I screamed about it all offseason. I was not happy about it, but it you know, we talk about it as if George was perfect and his son is nothing, and if only George were here. We don't remember all the nonsense. You're 100% right. Going through manager after manager after manager, having a terrible team, you know, getting in a public spat with Don Mattingly over a contract, you know, digging up dirt on like, how did that help? Calling him Mr. May. Did that help him? Did that help Dave Winfield become clutch for the New York Yankees? Do you know he had the game-winning hit to win the World Series for the Blue Jays? I guess the Blue Jays must have held him more accountable than the Yankees did. That's why he struggled in the postseason for the Yankees. Like, we forget all this stuff. And look, I'm not satisfied with the Yankees are either, but we talk about it like they're a miserable organization, that they're god-awful, that these years have been lean, terrible, disgusting years. And it's just not true. It's just not true. If you're a New York Giants fan, the last 8 years have been lean, disgusting, terrible years. If you're a Jets fan, the last 15 years have been lean, disgusting, terrible years. If you're a Knicks fan, the 20 years prior to 2020, from 2000 to 2020 were lean, disgusting, terrible years. If you think the Yankees are the same because the expectations should be higher, I just don't agree with that assessment. It's not easy to win. Now, one in, 20 years is not good enough. I totally agree. One in 25 years, not good enough. Absolutely not good enough. And none since 2009, not good enough. And that's why I suggested moving on from Brian Cashman instead of giving him another contract after 23. They didn't, and then they went to the World Series last year. They got to get back there this year. Totally on board. They got to get back there this year. That's not over. The prospect of that happening isn't dead today. But as far as the Howell and George stuff, it again, I say this a lot. There's only two times that Yankee fans care about regular season games. That's it, two times. The only times a Yankee fan will bring up regular season games are if, A, they lose. If you lose a regular season game, it's a big problem. And it's an obvious issue with the organization and the deep-seated failures that are destined to befall them every October. And then the only other time is when they're trying to justify George Steinbrenner and the 1980s. That's it. That's it. They talk regular season games matter to the fans when they lose, or they're trying to tell you how many games they won in the 80s to justify George Steinbrenner. That is it. They don't care about any other regular season game, not a one. Not a one. They won 99 games. They won 103 games. They won all these games with Aaron Boone. Who cares? What happened in October? That's it. Oh, but the Jude swoons. I can't tell you how many people have told me, have uttered this phrase, which I find patently ridiculous. Oh, my God. It's last year all over again. They went to the World Series last year. Yes, they had a June swoon. Yes, they didn't play well in the middle of the season. They found themselves and then went 8-2 in the 10 games in the American League playoffs. And we're in the World Series with a lead in extra innings in game one. Take me back there. I hope it's just like last year. And then I hope they play better from that moment on. Oh, my God, it's just like last year. Oh, God forbid. God forbid it's another world. Can you imagine? And I said this to, like, can you imagine? Like, can you imagine another franchise in any sport? Like, can you imagine a team that got to the Super Bowl and lost? And then the next year going, oh, this has got last year written all over it. Can you imagine any other team in any other sport? Like, I'm watching highlights right now of Halliburton. Can you imagine the Pacers? I know they're, you know, can you imagine the Pacers going, oh, good grief. This is just like last year. We're not getting off to a good enough start. We should have a higher seed. We're going to have to play all these games on the road again. Ugh, ugh, ugh. Just like last year. It's crazy to me. Mike in Brooklyn, what's up, Mike?
Hey, C-Mac, how are you, brother?
How's good, how are you?
Okay?
Good.
Good, good. Listen, first, I heard you talk to my Scent of a Woman. You know that's the only movie he won an Oscar for? Was Scent of a Woman, Al Pacino?
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, if you're telling, I'll take your word for it. I'm trying to think. He must have been nominated for The Godfathers, but I guess he didn't win. But yeah,
he was nominated for a ton. That was the only one he won. Crazy.
Yeah, no, I think The Scent of a Woman. I just got a text message from Dave Marinick, our assistant program director, telling me that the Nicholson one is better. I don't know that Al Pacino scene at the end of Scent of a Woman, and then the in the dark scene is such a great. I'm in the dark here.
Oh,
I'm in the dark.
Yeah, no, I love it.
Like it's so
good. I love
good.
It even when he's driving in the car too. Without
oh yeah, when he's
too.
Yeah, when he's driving the Lamborghini, whatever car they rented. Yeah. No, I mean, and then the dance scene as well. Like, there's just he was so good in that movie. And hoo-ha.
Yeah. I love that
you
movie.
Think you're merely sending this boy, this young minnow, back to Argonne with his tail between his legs? I say you are executing his soul. I love that movie.
I'm too damn old.
Yeah, I'm too tired. I've seen boys like these, younger than these, with their arms torn off, their legs blown up. But there's no prosthetic. It's so good. And I happen to know the entire Jack Nicholson one. I think I did it for a class or something. Mm. But I have that whole thing memorized. But yeah, it's great. Don't get me wrong. You Can't Handle the Truth thing is awesome. And Jack Nicholson's the best. I mean, he's probably... Yeah. You know, pound for pound, the greatest, you know, actor of all time. I mean, arguably,
I like him too. Yeah,
Pacino's good too, but like Pacino had some doozies. Yeah. Like Jack Nicholson was probably a little bit more stable, good in every movie. But I don't know, it's tough to pick between the two.
No, of course, yeah. So just my point. It's so funny because I know you talk about it with a lot of these guys, especially Yankee fans. But all these guys go crazy about Cashman. They call you like a shill for Cashman.
The Cashman shill, yeah, absolutely.
But you got to think about it from the Mets standpoint. Like, I hear nobody complain about Stearns. To me, I never liked that, and you know this from the get-go, that I never liked the way he put together the team. I don't like the whole pitching lab nonsense. I don't think they can win with it eventually. I don't like the way, like, even if you look at it, the guys like Soto, Alonso, Lindor, Diaz, they were all signed by Cohen, basically, right? He really had nothing to do with Stearns. He put together, like, the rest of the misfit toys to match inside those four big guys. And that's the way he made the team. And look at the signings now, even with Manaea last year, right? So that's what, another 17 million. 4 months he hasn't pitched. Montas, $34 million. They backed into the playoffs last year on day 162. So I'm like,
that's a tough stretch. Yeah, I mean, they backed into the playoffs. They were 11 games under 500 and had the best record in baseball for the rest of the way. That's not exactly backing in.
But you know what I mean. They didn't get. It's not like they won, like got into the playoffs and they were 4 or 5 games up. They literally got in the last day of the plus an extra day to get into the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No,
if they would have lost that other game, they wouldn't have gotten the playoffs, right?
No, you're right. Yeah, but I mean that's still an uphill climb from 11 games under 500. I mean it's not backing in. They earned their way in, and they won that game. Like it's not like they lost and somebody else lost. They had to go into Atlanta and win that one of the games of the doubleheader, and they did. The first one in heroic fashion. Like, again, I understand your point overall, but to say they backed into the playoffs is too much. That is incorrect. As far as the way, yeah, listen, David Stearns had nothing to do with Juan Soto. Nothing. I think we all understand that. Brian Cashman had nothing to do with Aaron Judge. Nothing. Those are owner's decisions when you spend that kind of money, when you bring in a player like that. That's the owner. Everybody wants Juan Soto. It's not like, wow, what a shrewd move. He signed Juan Soto. I mean, everybody wants Juan Soto. Everybody wanted Aaron Judge. It's just a matter of can you convince him to stay or come there, and is the owner willing to spend the money? That's it. That's it. That's very, very little on Brian Cashman, on if at all. And David Stearns, I'm sure he played a role talking to him and everything and selling him on the franchise and stuff, but that's about the owner. There's no doubt about it. I totally agree with you. And he wasn't here for any other moves. And in my belief system, and I don't know if it's true, and it's probably unfair because I don't know, but I don't think he wanted to sign Pete Alonso. I'll be totally honest with you. I still don't think he wanted to sign Pete Alonso, and that's why I'm concerned this is the last year Met fans are going to get to see Pete Alonso in the uniform. I'm concerned that he's not going to come back next year. But he's done an incredible job with the pitching staff. Like, you can't argue that. We'll find out if it's good enough to win. And then we'll get to it and we'll see. Listen, right now, he's living the charm life from the Met fans because he's been here for 1 year and it was an incredibly fun, successful season. And the idea of him and the ownership that they love of Cohen, and obviously far better than the previous ownership that they despised in the Wilpons, and now the young, smart executive Stearns, who within 1 year got the team to the NLCS, like, they're living a charmed life for the most part. The manager, for some reason, from the fans, doesn't get the same charmed life. We hate managers, I swear. We just hate them. They can do no right. But right now, Stearns and Cohen are living a charmed life. Now, we'll see. We'll see how, like, if this pitching staff fails them in the postseason, they get beat up by, you know, the Padres or whomever, the Cubs, come in and kick the crap out of the pitching staff and don't give the offense a chance, maybe we'll feel differently. Maybe the Met fans will start to see that, or at least, you know, believe that, hey, you can't build a rotation this way. I don't know. But right now, there's no doubt. And I don't think they're wrong. The Met fans should be excited. He did an incredible job last year, and for the first half of the season, they had the best rotation in baseball on smoke and mirrors. Like, I'm willing to give him the credit because he deserves credit. He's done a really good job. But they are now in the same boat as the New York Yankees, the Los Angeles Dodgers. It's championship or bust for the Mets. There is no other way to have a successful season. Last year was their year. That was it. Last year was the last time that they could have a nice run, get to the NLCS, lose to the Dodgers, and feel good about things and have your fans, you know, a portion of them want to, you know, show up at the stadium and be there when they get off the buses to celebrate an NLCS loss. Like, that doesn't happen again. Now you have to win, otherwise it's a failure of a year. And if those pile up, then maybe it'll start to sound the same way Yankee fans sound about Brian Cashman. We'll see. But that hasn't been the life of a New York Met fan for their entire existence, and now they're just getting used to the idea that that's life, and the idea that that's life is good enough for the moment. The idea that they've reached a place where this is now the reality of winning a World Series or bust is where they've finally gotten, and it should have been for years because the fan base was there, and it's New York City, and it should have been this way, and now they're finally just overly joyed that it is this way. So we'll see. Even if they don't win the World Series this year, it might not start. Maybe it starts next year. But eventually, this Met team's going to have to win the championship, or the fan base is going to sound at least a little bit more like the New York Yankee fan base. But there's no doubt to me. Look, I'm not saying you should be thrilled with Brian Cashman. I'm not saying that you should never, that Brian Cashman should be here forever and you should be happy about that. I'm not even saying you can't call for Brian Cashman's job. All within bounds. He's the worst GM who ever lived. He's completely overrated. He doesn't get credit for any of the championships. That's where I start to push back and go, you're lost. or that anyone can do this with a $300 million payroll, it's just inaccurate. That's all. The Dodgers have had a payroll at the top of the league for how long? I mean, forever? They've won two championships. One, it took Ohtani and $700 million. And, you know, Ohtani, Freeman, Betts, and even that team without Ohtani lost in the playoffs to the Arizona Diamondbacks. They've won two championships in a 60-game season. And last year, with all that money spent, since 1988, they've won two. And they've been the Los Angeles Dodgers spending a lot of money that entire time. Maybe not as much as the Yankees, but they're at the top of the payroll. The Philadelphia Phillies have been in the top five, top three of Major League Baseball payroll for how many years? Where's their championship? Where's all their rings? They lost to the Mets in four games as favorites in the NLDS last year. We're up 3-2 to the Arizona Diamondbacks and lost the NLCS. With Bryce Harper, who everybody's furious the Yankees didn't sign. The idea that a $300 million payroll guarantees you success or guarantees you championships, it don't. It guarantees you a level of success that the Yankees never fail with. The Phillies have failed with it, missed the playoffs and been terrible, failed. The Mets, 2 years in, the Mets had the highest payroll in baseball for 2 years. Couldn't make it 2 years without falling on their face, being under 500, and having to trade away the entire team. Brian Cashman hasn't done that in 25 years. Not throwing a parade for him. But the idea that it's easy or that any GM in baseball do it, take anyone from the Rays. Okay, how about Bloom? He went to the Red Sox. How'd that go? Now he's going to take over the Cardinals. Let's see. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Quick break. Update. We'll come back. 2 hours down. Three more to go as we take you to 6 a.m. and the morning show right here on the Fan.